Dr. Helen Caldicott at Shoalwater Bay, speaking on the global nuclear age and the US military-industrial complex.
Because Bill Clinton had no courage to take on the Pentagon, the nuclear weapons are still in place. America's got 5,500 hydrogen bombs on hair trigger alert in their silos and in their submarines and on their aircraft carriers here, ready to be launched with a press of the button by that rather not very intelligent man, George Bush. America still has a policy to fight and win a nuclear war against Russia. Since the Cold War ended, she now has also targeted China. Because there are only 240 major cities in the Northern Hemisphere, you can see there's a huge redundancy of weapons. Russia's got 2,500 hydrogen bombs targeted on all America's allies and America. That means us too, because there are 34 or more US bases now in Australia. Is it 34? 34. Well, we've got a lot. We've got Pine Gap in the middle of Australia, which is orchestrating the killing in Iraq, the whole thing, targeting the whole thing, orchestrating the killing in Afghanistan. It's orchestrating a first strike nuclear war against Russia. It's orchestrating the missile defense system, which is totally provocative, because when America sets up missile defenses, China and Russia say, okay, we'll just build more nuclear weapons, and that creates a new nuclear arms race, which is already underway. And it's orchestrating the weaponization of space, and I've just written another book with someone else about that called War in Heaven, to put nuclear reactors in the heavens, to put laser beam weapons, to put rods from God, they're called, to put orbiting nuclear bombs up there. How you win a nuclear war with Russia is you launch the weapons, don't let them know, they take half an hour to get there or less on the Trident submarines, knock out all their first you decapitate Moscow and Putin, that means chop his head off, then you hit all their missile silos so they can't launch them. If you miss a few and they get launched, missile defense picks them up in space. And then the Russians don't like that, see, because they are warriors too, and they don't want to lose their nuclear weapons, apart from the fact that hundreds of millions will be killed. That's called collateral damage. So they've dug out a hole in the Urals, and they will shoot up a rocket called a dead hand. And if America is coming in and she's decapitated Moscow, then the dead hand sends a radio signal to all the nuclear weapons to be launched without any human input. So that's all set up. The Russians are all paranoid, never knowing when America will strike first, and that's her official policy. In other words, to blow up the planet. And this exercise here is part of that. And if all the bombs land, there are 40 targeted on New York as I speak, 40, 60 on Washington. Such a redundancy is there of nuclear weapons, and I can't go into how a nuclear weapons kills people, but it vaporizes millions of people, turns them into gas, and they disappear. And as the cities burn, a huge cloud of toxic black smoke will cover the planet with so thick that it blocks out the sun, photosynthesis stops, the temperatures will go down to the last ice age 18,000 years ago, and it's much worse than global warming, and it will kill most things except the cockroaches. Now, as America is practicing its war games here, what is it actually up to? What it's doing is ringing China with military bases, Kazakhstan, Afghanistan, Tajikistan, all of them around China and encircling China, because when the Cold War ended, America kind of lost its enemy. And the reason it needs enemies is because the military-industrial complex steals most of the American taxpayers' dollars to build weapons, and they don't even have a healthcare system there. 37 million people are uninsured. They die in the hospital parking lots of diabetes and the like because they can't get medical care. It's a cruel country, and we're starting to emulate it. There are nice people there, but they're kind of gullible and they don't understand much. We're not gullible. We're not gullible and we're gutsy, but we don't have as much guts as the New Zealanders do. How can 3 million people be more brave than 20 million Australians? So it's time we got up and stood for what we really believe in. Because America's ringing China with bases. That makes China very upset. She's only got 20 missiles that can hit America now, but she'll build more. And it's provocative, and it's also that the corporations can build their weapons. So on that note, there in The Australian, which is Rupert Murdoch's newspaper, as you know, in the yesterday there was a, what do you call this, a sort of insert about all the weapons Australia's involved in making, and there are ads for all the weapons firms. 10X, which is the biggest weapons firm in the Southern Hemisphere, works with Lockheed Martin, which is the biggest weapons manufacturer in the world, militarising space, putting weapons in space, doing the missile defence thing. I mean, they are obscene, these people. And I talk to them, and I say, what about your children? And they look at me with eyes like dead stones and say, I'm making money out of it. I say, yeah, but what if the world blows up and your children don't have a future? And they say, I'm making money. And if you look at these pages, you need to get this from yesterday or the day before, just look at the ads in it. Then the week before, there was another one in the Australian paper, ad after ad, and how we're going to kill people. This exercise here is about killing. Now, if someone kills in society, they're put into jail. We don't hang people here. But it's a crime to murder. Yet society as a whole has legalized, organized murder. And it's called glorification, glorifying war, glorifying killing. And who loves it is little John Howard, who clearly needs Viagra, I think. I think he's got a case. He's got a case of acute missile envy. Why do we go along with this? I mean, the Earth right now, and I can't emphasize this enough, we're upset about global warming, and that's terribly serious, you know? But we're on the edge of nuclear annihilation, much more so than we were at the height of the Cold War. Much more dangerous. In 1995, Norway launched a weather satellite, and Russia thought America had launched her weapons. Yeltsin, who was a drunkard, opened the football. You know what the football is? It's the computer code to launch a nuclear war. He gets 3 minutes to decide whether or not to press the button. 3 minutes. Over his shoulders were standing his general saying, press the button, Mr. President. 10 seconds before that 3 minutes elapsed, the missile veered off course. That's why you're sitting here in this hall tonight and you're not radioactive atoms floating around in the stratosphere. It had these accidents occur not infrequently. So we've got to understand that this exercise is taking place against a backdrop of total annihilation of possibly the only life in the universe. We are the curators of life on Earth, and that's why you're here. And that's what America's up to, and we are enablers to America's nuclear addiction. And if you love your father who's an alcoholic, you say, okay, that's it, Dad, I'm taking you to a drying out centre. America needs to be taken to a drying out centre. We need to get rid of all the US bases in Australia and do what New Zealand did. And you know what? Millions of Americans, people all over the world, would be so grateful if we did this. Let's stop the cultural cringe. Let's step up and say we're bloody good Aussies and we've got a lot of guts and we're going to do it and lead the world towards sanity and survival. What you do is organise in your communities throughout Australia. The churches have to do this. What would Jesus do? How dare they pretend they're Christians if they're not trying to save life on the planet? This book, you can get at the back, is about global warming and nuclear power. And I'm going to do one last thing before Kevin kicks me off. And that is, America's got 18 Trident submarines. 18. On each Trident submarine, and they don't have them here, but they've got an aircraft carrier. On each Trident submarine, and I'm going to need some help because I can't hold this mic and talk at the same time. On each Trident submarine are 24 missiles. On each missile are 8 hydrogen bombs, 100 times larger than the Hiroshima bomb. So it's 8 by 24, I can't work it out at the moment how many it is. This is one Trident. Each of these quarto pages is a missile, one missile with 8 hydrogen bombs on it. Each one could vaporize New York. Now I need some, everyone come out. I want to show you, give you a visual impact of what I'm talking about and what the Americans are up to and who we're allied with and what we're doing. Okay, you need to walk right to the end. I need more, lots more people. So that's a Trident, one, and they've got 18. And that's nothing compared to all the missiles in their silos, on their aircraft carriers, and in their planes, B-2s, B-1s, and B-52s. This is not a little exercise, people. This is about saving the Earth for our children and all our descendants. Thank you.
Blocked off 11K from the main gate with cops and some army there and said we couldn't go any further. There was quite a healthy turnout of people, probably about 75. Lots of young kids with piles of energy. They're fantastic. And so they said, well, you can't walk on the road, but you can actually walk around the road and walk up beside the road. So they all did. They decided they'd walk to the gate. And they walked around, the next thing they're all walking up the road with their banners. So it was very exciting. But what really was missing were the media. And it's no use doing things in a vacuum because no one knows. And I suggested, you know, maybe everyone should get their clothes off and then ring the Sydney Morning Herald. And then everyone across Australia in every sitting room would be watching and they'd say, those people have got their clothes off. Nudes, not nukes. That's what you could call it. Nudes, not nukes. But, you know, and then they'd say, do you know what's going on at Shoalwater Bay? Nobody knows. And without that, we're operating in a vacuum. It's important, the solidarity, and it makes us feel nice. But in terms of curing the problem and getting these people out of killing everything there and practicing killing other people, we've got to be much more pragmatic. Sorry, but that's my take on it. So we got, someone's ringing ABC now. It's easy enough to get on ABC. Just ring them up. They say, hang on, we'll put you on. Okay, start talking. They play you on the news. TV should be here. You ring up the news director. SBS was here. They've gone home. Sydney Morning Herald gets straight through to the news desk. It's easy. The agents say, we've got so many people here. Do you know what they're up to? What?
Helen, the ABC said they're not interested in covering it till Monday because unless there's something exciting like lots of arrests.
Well, then if you get your clothes off, they'll be here. I mean, be creative. Yeah. And actually, I led a march in San Francisco with our clothes off with Patch Adams and 50 people. And we got into the... no one was interested. You know, it was the rollover Y2K. No one came, but when we got our clothes off, we were in the New York Times. And actually, it's a very pure thing to do, although it's cold at the moment, because the human body is a beautiful thing. Fat, skinny, tall, I mean, it is beautiful, and I speak now as a doctor. And also, you realise how vulnerable we are before the radiation danger that Zol just talked about. And so it's a beautiful example, and there's nothing illegal about it. You know? Yeah. What? Yeah. Good.
Just a little bit more feedback from media. Yesterday I called Wind News when they decided we were doing mass action blockade, and they got there just in time.
Yeah.
So we've got that coverage, but also we have, luckily, some of our own media there who are videoing it and feeding it through.
Yeah, but it's got to be national. It's got to be in every Joe Sixpack's living room tonight as he's drinking his beer. And this green one, you've got to get her elected. I mean, you've got some good green candidates here. they're fantastic. You've got to start working for them, with them. Now, I'm going to do two things now. I'm going to talk about the medical consequences of depleted uranium, which was just asked recently. And then I'm going to talk about GNEP, Global Nuclear Energy Partnership, and what the plans are for Australia, and how we interdigitate or fit in with the Department of Energy in America, okay? I'll try not to take too long. Depleted uranium. For sure they've got the shells out there. I mean, Katie, are you here, Katie? There was a very interesting woman who spoke to a Navy man who's just come in from Iraq. They've got all their weapons there, all their tanks, they've surely got cluster bombs, DU weapons, fuel air explosives, what are the other things? They'll have all an array of their weapons and they'll be blowing them up here. Now, DU, uranium weapons, first of all, depleted uranium is uranium-238. When you dig uranium out of the ground, it's got two isotopes, 235, which is the fissionable one, 238, which isn't. 235 is present in 0.7%. I wish I had a blackboard, but I don't. And it must be enriched to 3% for nuclear power. Over 50%, you can make bombs out of it. That's why they're worried about Iran making weapons from its centrifuge enrichment plants. Now, what is left behind is 238, which is 1.7 times more dense than lead. Most bullets are made of lead because they're heavy. And as velocity equals mass... No, momentum equals mass by velocity. I learnt in physics in high school. The heavier the projectile is, the faster it goes. And so if you've got a very heavy shell of 10 pounds of solid uranium and you shoot it off fast, it slices through the other fellow's tank like a hot knife through butter. But it cycles less than 5 microns in diameter, which is small enough to get into the terminal bronchi, where there are no cilia to waft it up to clear out the lungs. Okay, so they used 360 tons of this ordnance, I like that word, ordnance, in 1991 near Basra. My colleagues, paediatricians, noticed 4 years later an increased incidence of childhood cancer. Children are 10 to 20 times more sensitive to radiation than adults because their cells are actively dividing and they get cancer much more readily. In fact, one X-ray to the pregnant abdomen increases the incidence of leukemia in that child, doubles the incidence. So they started to notice an increased incidence of childhood cancer. The incidence of childhood cancer now in Basra has gone up 700%, or 7 times. And the incidence of severe congenital anomalies, babies being born with one eyes, no arms, no brain, and carefully, I've delivered such an infant myself, has gone up 700%. As Zoll said, women are too terrified to deliver their babies for what will come out. The half-life of uranium-238 is 4.5 billion years. This stuff is lying around the desert floor, it gets blown up in the sandstorms, it's getting into the water, bioconcentrating in the food supplies. This time they've used over 2,000 tonnes. Pentagon's very cagey about how much, but certainly I've been using it in Baghdad where half the population is children. The population is 5 million in Baghdad. So it's a war crime beyond proportion over there in the centre of the cradle of civilization between the Euphrates and the Tigris rivers. And it will go on for the rest of time. It's actually a nuclear war. And it's probably some of our uranium. And we need to be getting articles in the newspaper about this. This is terribly, terribly serious. So these war games here are part and parcel of that. And you can tell it's a DU weapon because when it explodes, it's white hot in intensity. Uranium is a heavy metal, so it's excreted through the kidney, where it can cause either acute nephritis or renal cancer years later. It's excreted in the semen. The wives of the returning servicemen talk about burning semen in their vaginas because it hurts. Partly that's probably the reason we're seeing these deformed babies. It also goes to bone where it causes bone cancer and leukemia. It causes lots of other things. And in my other book, The New Nuclear Danger, which you can sign up for, there's a whole chapter on the medical effects of uranium. We know about it. We used to use it in medicine years ago. In our ignorance, we have done terrible things in the history of medicine. But there's huge literature on uranium and human bodies. And the Pentagon knows that, but they're lying about it. Okay, so that's DU. You can ask me about it when I've finished, if you like. Now, the next thing is, and I've just written an article for the Canberra Times about this. I don't know if they're going to publish it or not. We've got 70 to 90 companies in Australia exploring for uranium right now. We have potentially 70 to 90 uranium mines that can be opened. We have the Labor Party who's just given the go-ahead for total open slather of uranium mining, and you know where Howard stands. Howard is now talking about building an enrichment plant in Australia, which means you enrich the uranium up to 3% of 235, remember? Enrichment is extraordinarily energy consuming. They have two huge coal-fired plants in Paducah, Kentucky, to enrich the free world's uranium, including ours. So the coal-fired plant produces a hell of a lot of CO2 and adds enormously to global warming. And the first chapter in this book is about global warming and CO2 and enrichment, okay? So how would we enrich all you create? We've got to stop burning coal and oil now, because a new report has just come out in The Independent from a guy called, Hansen at NASA, to say that the IPCC report, International Panel on Climate Change, underestimated the effects of the melting of the ice caps, which are melting much faster than anyone predicted. And we're in an acute emergency. And we can't say, well, there's clean coal because there's not clean coal. We can't say we'll sequestrate the CO2 because that's never been tried. It's like the cure to cancer. They just want to keep the coal industry going because Howard's in their back pocket. There. And the same with the uranium industry. So we have to take over our country because we are international criminals by selling coal. And I live at Terrigal, outside Terrigal, going up to Newcastle. We counted 23 huge tankers ready to take the coal to China. Doesn't matter where it goes, it's our coal, our responsibility. Okay, so enrichment is enormously energy consuming. So they want to enrich uranium. Then Howard wants to build 25 nuclear power plants on the East Coast. He also wants to build the Liberal Party surreptitiously 3 weeks ago at their conference in Sydney decided and announced that they would receive foreign radioactive waste. Wow. The railway line between Adelaide and Darwin was built by Halliburton, Chaney's company. It is now owned by SECO Asia Pacific, a huge British nuclear waste company. Why would they want that railway line? There's a man called Dr. John White, who's a chief advisor to Howard, who has been spending $45 million of his own money and three other compatriots to bring radioactive waste back to Australia through Darwin on submarines, they say, through Darwin, and put it on that railway line. It's going to be thermally very hot, so it'll have to be cooled for decades, and radioactively intensely hot. They have just sublimated or taken from an Aboriginal tribe at Tennant Creek at Muckaty Station their land. They paid two Aboriginal tribal elders from one family $12 million as a bribe. The 16 other families do not go along with this, but it's only one family and two elders who've taken the bribe to appropriate Muckaty Station for radioactive waste storage for Lucas Heights. But that's just a Trojan horse. It's just next to the railway line. They had a 2.5 Richter earthquake fault there about 3 or 4 weekends ago. It's over intense aquifers. They have sinkholes when it rains. Those aquifers interdigitate and connect with aquifers all over the place, including the Great Artesian Basin. So then, and then also, Howard's going to remove the federal government ban on enrichment, nuclear power, reprocessing, which are all enacted, I'm sure, during the 70s and 80s when we were all so educated and concerned. Now, what is reprocessing? So if we bring what the Department of Energy in America are doing, they've formed this global nuclear energy partnership with Japan,
China,
Russia, I think.
India.
No, someone else, and I think we're subliminally part of it, although it hasn't been announced, because they're worried about proliferation, but they want their nuclear industry to prosper. What they're going to do is enrich the uranium in America, export the fuel rods, and then when they have been fissioned and they're thermally intensely hot and radioactive, they bring them back to America so no one can extract the plutonium and make bombs. And no one can, you can make bombs from two things, from enriched uranium and from plutonium. I'll explain that in a minute. Bring back the fuel rods into America and reprocess the fuel rods. Now, what does reprocessing mean? The fuel rods, one fuel rod is half an inch thick and 12 feet long, and if you stand next to it for a couple of seconds, you'll get a lethal dose of radiation and die the way Zoll was describing those people in the Marshall Islands getting acute radiation illness. You develop alopecia, hair loss, like the Queensland countryside looks at the moment, looks like it's had chemotherapy, it's so disgusting. A rash, bleeding, vomiting, diarrhea, and death. So the fuel rods will be cut apart, just chopped up into little pieces, and those pieces put in concentrated nitric acid, and the whole thing dissolved. And from this witch's cauldron of isotopes, and there were almost 150 of them, including plutonium and strontium and cesium, intensely radioactive. This witch's brew is removed and precipitated plutonium. Plutonium is what you use to make bombs. You need about 2 kilos to make yourself an atomic bomb. The design's on the internet. All you need is to buy stuff at the local hardware shop and have yourself a lump of plutonium. It's easy to get. Plutonium is so toxic that less than a millionth of a gram can cause cancer or would cause cancer. When they injected plutonium into beagle dogs, they couldn't find a dose low enough that didn't give all the dogs cancer. 10 to the minus 9 grams. I mean, extraordinarily carcinogenic. Each reactor makes 200 kilos of plutonium a year from our uranium. 2 kilos is for a nuclear weapon. It's got a half-life of 24,400 years, so it lasts for 500,000 years. And how dare they say, well, we'll just work with Australia and we'll have reprocessing here and the like because you're a stable political country. This stuff is 500,000 years. Jesus lived only 2,000 years ago and he didn't even speak English. I mean, what signs are we going to put on the radioactive waste dumps? Anyway, so you get the plutonium out, and what they want to do is then put the plutonium itself into fuel rods, not uranium, plutonium. There are only two fissionable elements, plutonium and uranium-235, okay? And because we will run out of uranium within about 10, 20, 30 years, if all electricity today was generated by uranium, there's only 9 years' supply of uranium left. It's very finite. So what they want to do is recycle, and it's called transmutation, put the plutonium in a reactor. So you have a reactor with up to 15 tons of plutonium, which is cooled by liquid sodium. Now, if any of you have ever done chemistry, you'll know that liquid sodium, if exposed to air, ignites or explodes. It's very reactive. So if there's a crack in the cooling pipe with the liquid sodium cooling the reactor, the thing will explode. What's more, the plutonium will melt down, 15 tons of it, and as 2 kilos is critical mass, the whole thing will explode with blood with the most massive nuclear explosion ever seen in the history of the world, scattering tons of plutonium to the four winds, which is so carcinogenic as I described. Now that's a new generation 4 passively safe reactor. That's what they call. There's a chapter on Generation 4 reactors here. And that's what Howard's getting around to. So I think Howard's done a deal with Bush and the DOE to say, we will be part of GNEP, Global Nuclear Energy Partnership. And last but not least is they said they'd bring up to 15% or 20% of the world's radioactive waste back here. They'll probably store it at Tennant Creek over the aquifer. The stuff will leak out. Strontium, cesium, plutonium, americium, iodine-129 with a half-life of 17 million years, and it will get into the aquifer, and then it comes up and bioconcentrates in the food chain at each step hundreds of times. So algae, crustaceans, little fish, big fish, us. Or the cattle, and a lot of cattle use the aquifers out there in the stations into their milk and meat, and don't forget we're highest on the food chain. And don't forget children are the most radiosensitive of all the people in our species. So what it means is epidemics of malignancy for the rest of time. It means Genetic disease increased enormously. There are 16,000 genetic diseases now described. My specialty is cystic fibrosis, the most common fatal genetic disease of childhood. aberrations like Mongolism, chromosomal aberrations, and birth defects induced by plutonium. So here we have the whole fuel cycle orchestrated by Howard. We are in the gravest danger that Australia's ever been. And it's been doing, okay? It's been done subliminally beneath the radar, so we don't know what's going on. The media are not reporting it. It is our responsibility as Australians, A, to educate everybody about this, and B, and I hope my article's published in the Canberra Times because we can send it around on the net, and B, to get all the politicians orchestrated and educated about what's going on. So it's uranium mining. It's enriching, it's making the fuel rods, it's exporting them, it's bringing them back as radioactive waste and to reprocess, and probably, and reprocessing is the dirtiest industrial process ever known. Huge amounts of tritium are released. Tritium is radioactive hydrogen, which is very carcinogenic, producing brain cancers and other cancers. It's absorbed straight through the skin as well as the lung and the gut. Krypton 85, which has a half-life, I don't know, several million years. Radioactive iodine 129, which causes thyroid cancer. Krypton is located near the gonads, very high energy gamma emitter, so you can get mutations in the eggs and sperm. And other such nice things are released continuously from a reprocessing plant, and then you're left with the liquid waste. And in America, in Savannah River, I don't know how many they've got, it's called a tank farm. Each tank contains 100,000 gallons of this material just near the Savannah River, and it's leaking into the Savannah River and at Hanford, Washington. And all of this was made to make bombs, to get the plutonium out to make bombs. But now they want to get the plutonium out to make passively safe reactors which can explode. So we are in the gravest danger we've ever been. And our responsibility now, and I'm sorry to tell you this because we've got enough on our hands with this stuff going on, is that we've got to get out there, every one of us, and educate every person in the states from which we come. So are you all from different states? I'm from New South Wales. Who's from Victoria? Good. What about South Australia? What about Western Australia? What about the Northern Territory? We have got some representatives. So our job is vast. Vast, and Queensland's stuffed with uranium as well. To learn more about it, you can find it out in the book. I don't actually talk about GNEP because I found out about that when the book, after the book was written. So have you got any questions? I'm sorry I rushed. Yeah.
Is there a website for the speaking tour of the waste dump for Indigenous people that you welcome?
I don't know anything about a speaking tour of Indigenous people about the waste dump. I know that they were recently in Canberra. Yeah. I didn't know they were doing a speaking tour.
Speaking tour, and if you can get onto the website and find out that
sure it is.
And it is because they don't want us anywhere within a bull's roar of understanding what might go on and to alert the Australian population.
I don't think that's that so much. They'll do their business behind closed doors, and it's a fascistic state now, absolutely. But that's not our goal, I don't think. Our goal is to educate our fellow Australians. And that means using the media propitiously. That means being well educated ourselves so we're articulate about this. We can go on and talk about plutonium. Educate people the way they were educated in Australia in the 70s and 80s. Don't worry about APEC. It's a show.
I was just about to say, I did read something out on my radio show in Nimbin that was from the Herald, saying that at that APEC, that they were going to be an agreement signed between the Australian government and the American government, Japan and China for nuclear reactors all over the world.
So
that was
be
from the
Gina.
Herald.
Yeah, that'll be
Gina.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In the interest of educating our fellow Australians, to do like a one A4
I've just done it for the Canberra Times. If they don't publish it, I can put it on my website.
Yeah, that'd be
it's called HelenColdicott.com.
And could we just print that out?
Of course you can use it anywhere.
Drops.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Have you got time and energy to talk to us again sometime this weekend?
About
long
what?
Anything. Everything you say is great.
Really interesting.
Well, I am speaking at the concert.
Yes.
Just for 5 minutes.
Are you coming back at 4 o'clock as advertised?
No, I've just done my gig.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Helen, the biggest question that I find when you go to tell people about this thing is what if it's so bad and so destructive, what is the actual intention or the purpose of the powers to be that are taking us down this path? I mean, is it about the destruction of the planet?
I'm not in their brains, but I would say as a physician looking at them, they have either they're psychopaths or sociopaths to diagnose them, because what they're doing is not just destructive to other people, but to themselves as well, and in a way they've been passively suicidal, and we hospitalise suicidal patients because they're sick. So I think that they have... Yes, they're psychiatrically disturbed, but it's a societal disturbance, and society goes along with it because they have the power and control. What I didn't say, though, was that everyone says, well, what are we going to do to have electricity, right? Because anyway, nuclear power causes global warming. I've just put together a roadmap with a brilliant scientist in Washington for a carbon-free, nuclear-free future for the US by the year 2050. And actually, we've got it here, so... Did you copy it? Yeah. So I can show it to you if you want to have a look at it. You do it by taxing CO2 $40 per tonne. You stop subsidising nuclear and it dies a natural death, just collapses and dies because it's a socialist industry. And you use the money to power and develop or solar, wind, tidal, geothermal. I mean, it's all here. And cheap as hell, absolutely cheap as hell, and ready to go. We've costed it out. It's about 170 pages, this report. And Nancy Pelosi's going to send it to every congressional office, I think Harry Reid to every Senate office, and we're printing enough summaries to send to every single legislator in America. And therefore, I would give it to you, and you've got a promise to get it to every single politician in Australia state, local and federal, and what's more, go in and nail one foot to the floor and teach them. And so you've got to start funding this. If the Congress starts funding elements of the roadmap, we'll be on our way.
Can you get that get it off your net?
It's not on the website yet. Where is it?
I'll go back to my car.
Yeah.
Can you do that?
Pam's got it. That'd be great, Pam. Yeah. But you can feel free to copy it. It's embargoed in America at the moment because the Washington Post, I think, is going to write an article about it, and then we'll go to the New York Times and stuff. So, but it's the first time an actual concrete plan has been produced to take us into the future. It's like the prescription for a bad illness. You know, the planet is in the intensive care unit, and this is the prescription for survival. So it should be good. Yeah.
Peter Vanderwick from the Rainbow Power Company in Nippon. Has recently written some great ideas and really specific ideas. He's got an amazing mind, Peter Vanderwick. He's a founder of the Rainbow Power Company, and his plan is brilliant. It's really
well, this is the plan that puts it all together. Yeah, I mean, IPCC said, you know, well, there's solar and there's wind, but it's vague.
Yeah.
But this is actually very concrete. We put the whole thing together. I mean, there's enough area on the parking lots of America, supply the whole of America with solar electricity. And now they're talking about putting plug-in cars like hybrids or Priuses into the parking lots, powering up with solar, and then they talk about vehicle-to-grid you plug your vehicle into your house at night and power all your lights from your battery. And they've got new batteries now, lithium batteries, which can be recycled enormous numbers of times and are very efficient. So there's exciting things about to happen. All we have to do is get the politicians off their dimes, educate them, and make sure they represent us and not their buddies in the corporate world, like John Howard does. Was there one more question? Finish?
I've got a question.
No, you had not. No, yeah? Speak up. Shh. Speak up.
I believe $9 to $11 billion has been set aside for the coal and nuclear industries by the next Howard government if they come back into power. That's $9 to $11 billion that we could be going into the energy that you talked about.
All right, so that's what you just said. You take that up and you do something about it. Stand up. Let's go on. This is the woman who's going to do it. I'll just end by saying in America they subsidize the coal and oil companies to the tune of $25 billion a year. Subsidize them. Subsidize them when they're the richest companies on earth. They give them federal money to support, you know, tax deductions and all sorts of. In fact, if you read this book, the second chapter is on the economy of nuclear power. Huge amount of tax subsidies and the like. They pay for the insurance because you can't buy insurance for a nuclear accident. I didn't go into all the medical effects of nuclear, but and it's called the Price-Anderson Act. So it's totally subsidised, and they do the same to coal and oil. And I've just addressed two business conferences recently, one in Melbourne and one in Sydney. These guys, they stand up and say, if we can't make money out of it and the capitalist system, you know, do what's necessary, well, they're virtually saying we won't save the world. We don't care. I mean, it's unbelievable, not mendacity, but wickedness. And they think that the capitalist system is the way to go. It's not. And there's a wonderful article just written by, I can't remember, the journalist in America who said that global warming now challenges the whole of the way society is organised because now government has to step in and regulate these companies. Regulation's gone to the wind. You can't regulate them anymore. They've all been deregulated. But if we are to survive, the whole of society has to change. And then there's China. But the only way China will change is if America changes, because America is the model for the whole world. And the Americans are, well, they've got tremendous sense of entitlement. What? They took it. They're the richest.
Leader, you said.
The Americans, from you, we've never had any power. But if we, in a thing called manifest destiny.
Yeah, I'll come right back to the point. There will be a false leader, the Marcus Messiah, God be saying, and this leader won't be shot, he will be stoned with stones. And the blood going flood, and the blood going run, blood on tone, and blood down tone, and blood run tone. Blood in the woods, and the blood in the country, Marcus God be heard.